In today's gospel, our Lord paints for us a very clear picture of Holy Mother Church, and most especially of her hierarchical construction. For in choosing 72 disciples, he fills and ultimately escaped through the Red Sea. They became wanderers on the earth, and many times they had to encamp, that is, to take a form of refuge. One of the primary places was revealed to us in the book of Exodus. It was a place called Elim. And in that place, it was described as a wilderness with 12 wells and 70 palm trees, a forerunner of what would be fulfilled today, that the world would be called to drink from the 12 fountains of Holy Mother Church, that is, from the apostles and their teaching, because their teaching would not be their own, but it would be the teaching of God become man himself. Indeed, the Sanhedrin was constructed of 72 members, and most of the doctors and fathers tell us that when our Lord scattered the world at the Tower of Babel, he divided the world into 72 nations and 72 languages, and even secular sciences have discovered that all the nations and all the languages have their root in 72. And so, it would be through the church that the Lord again would reorganize human society, call all those who were scattered at Babel into the one true kingdom, that is, the kingdom of God. And so we see very clearly how Satan is always operating and always mimicking the very hierarchical structure of the church. For in today's gospel, we learn very clearly, contrary to the modernist interpretation, that the papacy and the hierarchical structure of the church was a medieval construct. It is very clear in today's gospel that from the beginning, the hierarchical structure of the church was established by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who first chose 12 apostles and then clearly indicated that among those apostles, Peter would have a primacy. And then he assigned to those apostles the disciples mentioned in today's gospel, in order that each apostle would take 6 of these disciples into the known regions of civilization at the time and there seek to establish his kingdom in the world. And so, those disciples would go forth to establish the one true church, that one true church by which all mankind can come to know what is right and wrong through her teaching, but more importantly, to do right and to avoid wrong, that is, to always do good and to avoid evil. And so, our Lord tells us very clearly as members of his mystical body that we are not to be concerned with the world's perception of the mystical body of Christ, because as our good shepherd, he is the leader of the mystical body and he takes care of his sheep, primarily in the spiritual order, but the Lord clearly indicates that he will also care for us in the temporal order. In the spiritual order, he forgives our sins through the sacramental life of the church. That is, he forgives all our sins in the sacrament of confession, especially our mortal sins, and also he forgives our venial sins when we worthily receive him in any of that reception by which we receive him through the sacramental life, which has its culmination in its pinnacle in the Eucharistic life of the member of the mystical body. And so, our Lord is indicating by the sending out of his disciples a clear principle, for he tells them they are not to flit about, but they are to go to the one home in which they are accepted. That is, it will be a characteristic note of the members of the mystical body that they will live in this world, but not be of this world, or as many of us were proselytized by those preachers not united with the kingdom of God, we were not, contrary to the popular song, to live life in the fast lane. The member of the mystical body witnesses to the presence of Christ by the very settling down and living a life that is a preferred life, because it is a life that was lived by Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in the holy home at Nazareth. And no matter where God places a member of the mystical body, it is that life they are called to imitate, because that it is that life that ultimately accomplishes that apostolic mission of the church, that is, to drive out Satan and his influence from the world in order to establish the influence and the presence of Christ in his most holy mother and that patriarch of the Holy Family, Saint Joseph. For that is truly authentic human living, and that is the life that all mankind are called to live, because the primary characteristic of the Holy Home at Nazareth was that God was worshipped. God was worshipped by all members, and so, especially through Saint Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary, we learn what we are called to do, and ultimately, that is the witness of the church, to teach all mankind and to all nations what we were called to do, for we are truly separated from the beast. And despite the modern attempt to describe and to define mankind, the definition of mankind is very simple. He is rational because he has been called from all eternity to worship God, and so he is rational precisely because he has the ability with the angels to choose to worship the one true God or to reject the one true God. And so our Lord tells us very clearly not to worry about how the world will perceive us, and even not to worry whether they will accept us or not. For every member of the mystical body in some way is called to do his part in every land and in every nation and every place. And if he is rejected, then he must look upon his efforts as preparatory. That is, ultimately, the Lord will send other disciples and other missionaries, and they will complete the work that Christ began through that member of the mystical body who had to depart, shaking even the dust of his feet because the gospel was rejected. And so it is that the witness that we are called to live is primarily the witness of an innocent and a holy life, but a recognition that innocence and holiness can only be attained by the grace of God, and that alone will change the wolf into the lamb, because our Lord says very clearly that he did not come to destroy anyone except the leader of the anti-kingdom of God, that is, Satan. And he has done so, and he has constructed his mystical body in such fashion that we are to go into the world in order to claim those souls who presently have fallen under the reign of Satan. And indeed, if we study history, that is, true history, not the secular interpretation, or rather, the secular slant, because it is truly not history, but merely an interpretation, and it is always and everywhere an interpretation that serves the purpose of the devil. And so, if we study history, that is, that history that is revealed to us primarily through sacred scripture and all those early doctors and fathers of the church who were given a keen insight, most especially St. Augustine in his City of God and City of Man, we see very clearly that prior to the incarnation, Satan had gained almost universal control and honor in the world, in which he was worshipped and glorified and exercised a kingly power over mankind, commanding him even to send children into the fires of Moloch or the altars of the Aztecs in order that humanity may be annihilated. And so that reign had become nearly universal over the whole world, and it was the incarnation that would be the beginning. For we see very clearly in our Lord's public ministry that he first begins to drive out demons, and so we see very clearly that we are to go into the world and establish that true king, that is, Christ the King, in his power of forgiveness over mankind. And so we are either preaching for our Lord or preaching for Satan, and the preaching of Satan has had the sway in our modern society. That is precisely why our Lord tells us to settle down. If our churches are empty, we can be assured that the churches of Satan are full, and they mask themselves in all manners and all shapes. In some places, they are known as casinos. In other places, they are known as civic centers, in which the liturgy of Satan is rammed down the hearts and minds of our children. And so, generations have been brought up learning that hell is not a bad place to be, or imagine there's no religion, or we have cast our lot with an ancient spell. I will comfort you, I will take you through, in reference to Satan. Or, if that is not explicit enough, my name is Lucifer, please take my hand. Hell ain't no bad place to be, our children sing over and over and over. I may be going to hell in a bucket, but at least I am enjoying the ride. He came to my windows with 6,000 sins. I didn't care. I still let him in. All direct quotes from the preachers of the kingdom of Satan, and have had a profound influence on all of society. And so this is precisely why our Lord has instructed us to settle down. Because what was known by St. Augustine as the theatrical world was always seen by the doctors and fathers of the church as a place in which Satan disguises himself in human masks in order to preach his gospel. His gospel in which the preachers admit who they are. And so one of the primary preachers of our time has told us very clearly that he was a voodoo child, that is, a practitioner of the occult, and that has had a profound influence on society and has had a destructive force, most especially within the family. Indeed, it can be truly said that the family is on the brink of annihilation. And in this, is a member of the mystical body to despair? No, he is to be neither optimistic or pessimistic, because morally, one is just in excess in one form or the other, either too much or too little. But the member of the mystical body is always and everywhere called to be a realist. He is called to realize, with St. Bernard, that there is no security, either in the heaven of the angels in where they were originally created, or in the paradise of Adam and Eve. For many angels fell from that heaven in the very presence of God, and in the garden, Adam and Eve let in falsehood, and the human family capitulated. And so, we are not to have a false sense of security based on rumors of peace, but a true sense of security based on the reality of that peace that Christ came to teach, that we are not to approach the world with a pessimistic attitude or an optimistic attitude, but a realistic attitude, that in Christ all can be renewed. And so we do not fall to either excess or defect, but we turn, most especially in terrible times, we turn to her who is described in Scripture as a woman, terrible in battle array, terrible not to mankind, but to demons. And so we turn to Our Lady this day and ask her that our security be based on that security that she had, that is, her deep and profound love for Holy Mother the Church and her hierarchical structure, because it is a grace that she requested. And indeed, she understood like no human soul that to love Holy Mother Church is to love Christ, and to love Christ is to seek to establish his influence, most especially the reign of his compassionate and sacred heart over the whole of humanity. And so, with today's first reading, let us always understand the mystical meaning that we will find our comfort in Jerusalem, for Jerusalem, an earthly city, was symbolic of a heavenly city, that is, the true paradise, the paradise where mankind was created to dwell for all eternity, that place alone in which we can find the peace that the Lord speaks of. And in this life, we must, as members of the mystical body, fight for that peace. There is no other reality. For Pope Leo XIII said that there is no such thing as a pacifist Christian. He declared that Christians were born for combat and into combat they must enter, and that combat must always be understood not as a combat with each other, but as a combat against those powers and those principalities that we cannot see, in which he influences others to do his preaching in order to hide himself. But in the end, he always manifests in some way himself. And so he gives a perfect description of the lot of those who are not wrested from the kingdom of Satan and placed in the kingdom of God, in which at the end of the most popular song in the history of modern man, he describes perfectly the monotony of hell, where all are one and one is all, to be a rock and not to roll, because Satan must always laugh at those whom he has duped. And so let us no longer allow ourselves to be duped, but let us always remember that we are called to a freedom that we cannot imagine, for there are no rocks in heaven, and that is a perfect description of the monotony of hell, because it is terrible for a human being to even be considered and described as a rock. But how much more terrible would it be to be a rock and not even have the capacity to roll? In heaven, all our faculties will be put for all eternity at the disposal of that which they were created to do, to worship the one true God for all eternity in heaven, praising him with all the angels who have preceded us and all the saints who are there now fighting earnestly for our salvation. And so let us first and foremost repent of our sins, strive to live that holy witness of Christ's presence in the world, that is, hunkering down in this world, not flitting about and where there is rumors of peace and false hopes of happiness, but always keeping our mind on the heavenly Jerusalem, so that in our sojourn in this life, we are always battling for the salvation of souls, always with that understanding that those lights of our modern age have revealed to us. For St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe says very clearly that most men do not lose their soul out of malice, for the true despots of the world are very rare. The Adolf Hitlers and those like him, the Maos and the Stalins, and even those who hide themselves in democracy but are involved in the slaughter of the innocent youth in the womb of their mothers, they are rare, St. Maximilian says. Most souls are lost out of weakness, and they are lost because the Catholic Church has no influence in society. When the Catholic Church is loved in society, those souls who would normally be lost because of the charity manifested in a Catholic culture are saved. And so let us strive, as St. Maximilian would always tell us, for the maximum salvation of all souls. And he defined it very clearly. He put no limits on the intercessory power of the Mother of God. He said very clearly, if we do not believe that it is possible that no soul will ever be lost again, then we have diminished the power of Christ's blood and ultimately have begun the journey away from Holy Mother Church and into that false kingdom with its false promises and its false tenets that have led so many into the furnace of Moloch and into the slaughter, not primarily of their body, but more unfortunately of their soul. And so let us realize that there is only one who can snatch us from the jaws of hell. There is only one who can climb into the mouth of the beast and come out with the victim who is about to be swallowed, and that one ultimately is Christ. And so he and he alone can snatch us from the jaws of Satan. And so let us strive to manifest his presence in the world so that it can be truly said of every member of the mystical body that it is not they who love each other, but it is Christ and Mary in them who is loving the world and establishing that true presence which alone can put mankind back on the road to happiness, because he recognizes It is not something that will be attained in this life. There is only a forerunner, and that primary forerunner is the reception of our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist. The highest act of worship that any soul can accomplish in this world. And so we must truly believe that one good communion could truly renew the face of the world. And so let us trust not in the powers of this world, but in the heavenly power, the divine power of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, so that all of us may one day be united and Satan will be found with empty hands and heaven will be populated with all souls.
Miserere, 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 mi